connotes, write it down. Who are you? Who are you? And so it's interesting. In the world right now, this word identity, they slap it on the beginning of the word of words and on the back of it. So last week I ran through a list, and I'm just going to go through a couple of them. But, you know, in the world today, we have identity politics, and we have gender identity. How many people have heard of gender identity in the world today? You think you know something and you've heard a little bit? Your kids are hearing it. Your kids are hearing it, high school, middle school, okay? And this is what they're being told. You know, you really don't know who you are. You should go on this journey and try to figure out who you are. That's what they're hearing. And in a sense, I agree with that. But the journey should be you're going to find out your identity in Jesus. That's what you need to find out, not what the world's telling you, okay? So, and you need to sit down and talk to your kids, please, please, please. They also have a thing called social identity and religious identity and race identity. Okay, race identity, I'm telling you what, it is a big thing right now. Big, all right? But listen to this. Jot down Matthew 24, I think it's verse 28, but Matthew 24, go look it up. This is what Jesus said. He says, the days that you are living in now, the days that you are living in now, he said, nation will rise up against nation. Jesus said that. But listen, if you dig up that word where it says nation, it really means ethnic group, aka race. And he said, race will rise up against nation, race, okay? And we see that. We see that. And Jesus said, that'll be in the last days, all right? Now, he tells you how it's supposed to be, all righty? Now, I'm going to say this, and you may not like this, but what the world's pushing their answer for race is causing more division. I'm telling you, their answer is just causing more division. It is not making race better. Matter of fact, who's heard of critical theory? Write that down. You guys got to write it down. Don't check Google right now, but write that down. That is what they're pushing, the world is pushing in your schools, unless you open your mouth and you show up. And that whole thing is all about pinning race against race, and it's all about socialism and Marxism. What? We live in the United States of America. Yeah, but you got to do something to keep that. So you go look up critical theory. Okay, praise the Lord. Moving on. Didn't want to talk about that. Okay, so identity. I want to tell you a couple of things about identity. Really, I'm going to tell you about 30 minutes of identity. But listen to this. God never meant for your identity to be something that makes you confused. God never meant for our identity to be something that makes you insecure. God never meant for identity to do that to you, okay? So listen, guys, if you find out, okay, and listen and dig in the word, when you find out your identity, you will be unstoppable. Everybody say unstoppable. Unstoppable. When you know your identity, who God made you, you are unstoppable. Okay, and but listen, it'll take a little tuning in, it'll take a little reading, it'll take a little open mind. Years ago, when Jack and I were back in Tulsa, we went to this church, and we went to a Bible study on Wednesday night, a church service, I should say, and this guy, Bob Daniels, would teach who you were in Christ, your identity, every week, and I went for 6 months, and I was like, I don't get it. It just was so foreign to what I had been programmed in. But, you know, Jack just drug me along. Liz, were you there? Yeah. Drug me along. And I think it was like 6 months later, and he's teaching on who I am really in Jesus, my identity. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I get it. This is awesome. So that's okay. If you're just a little like me, it took me a little while. Just keep digging in it, okay? keep digging in it. Okay, so you are unstoppable in Christ. Now, the thing about the world is they like slapping labels on you, all right? Slapping labels on you. And like you're growing up, especially kids, you're growing up, oh, someone will say, you're just like your dad. Label, loser. Or I had this happen. I was I had this happen. This professor said, oh, you know, your scores are not really good. You know, you just should get out of college. Loser, dumb. That was the label she was slapping on me. And I was like, you know what? So parents, teachers, be very careful about labels, identity, because they stick. Anybody had some? Don't raise your hand. Okay. So, but thank God for salvation, right? Thank God for Jesus, because he rips off all those labels and he gives you a new one, a new identity. You are a new creature. You are loved. You're beloved. You're holy. You're righteous. You're amazing. I like that one. So I ripped that one off and I ripped that one off. And man, it's good. I'm unstoppable. Anybody unstoppable here? Yeah, you're roaring like a lion here. Okay. So, why is identity this big thing? Why is this such a hot topic, okay? Now, this is what I believe. In generations past, like in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and a smidgen in the 80s, the meaning of life, you know, the meaning of life is I want to be a good person. I want to be a good person. That's what it was back then. And I want to be a good person. And listen, you could talk to a Christian or you could talk to someone who didn't know Jesus and you'd go up and you'd say, hey, what's the whole meaning of your life? And they would say, I want to be a good person. I want to be a good person, okay? Now, if you're a Christian, you know being a good person won't get you to heaven without Jesus. Amen? Right? Okay. So you can be as good as you can and you can do all sorts of good stuff, but unless you receive Jesus, you're not going to have eternal life. You're not going to go to heaven. Okay. So we know that. But here's what's happened. So like in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and I can even remember my dad pounding that into us, okay? But back, so here's what shifted. It's no longer, hey, you need to be a good person. You know what it is now? You just need to be true to yourself. You need to just be true to yourself. And I'm like, what? Okay? If in case you don't know, but about 30 years ago, our colleges and schools started putting some stuff into your kids, and now those kids 30 years ago have grown up, and it's like you just need to be true to yourself. You need to just do what makes you feel good, all right? That's what they're pushing. That's what people are, people don't even know that until you know your identity, all right? So, you know, how many of you have received Jesus? So if I say that, you need to be true to yourself, your brain should be going, what? That is the complete opposite of what I'm to be living my life like. It is. It really is, okay? Now, if you're not a Christian, you might be ticked off at me. You might cancel me. You might disagree with me. Okay, but listen, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you the way Jesus did, and I will tell you the truth in love. But that is not how God wants you to see how you live your life. I just want to be true to myself. I just want to feel good about myself, okay? So here's what the culture, the society is really pushing. Here, listen, you can't make me feel guilty about what I say or what I do. You just can't make me feel, you know, I don't have to feel guilty about what I say. I can just do what I want, okay? Because I just want to be true to myself, all right? Now, if you want to be the real truest, that's probably not good English. If you want to be truest to yourself, you will find out your true identity, which is in him, all right? The rest of that stuff is a bunch of baloney, all right? So we're going to talk about who am I, and here's the most important thing. What does God say about me? What does God say who I am? Because that's just where it is, all right? Now, how many of you remember when you were younger? Sure, Pastor D. Some of you are still younger. But how many of you remember when you were younger and you wanted to be a specific thing in life, right? How many of you remember, anybody want to be a rock star, an actor, doctor? Okay, so I am so young, I remember 1969 when Neil Young walked on the moon. Anybody that young to remember that? Armstrong, excuse me, yeah. Neil Young, that's run to the river with a horse. No, that's a singer. That was the rock star. Okay, Neil Armstrong. Oh, Lord, we're recorded. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so anybody that lived when that happened, Neil Armstrong, they all wanted to be astronauts. Yes, all right? And you know, it's really, talk to kids. Just talk to kids and ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? All right? So I remember just in a silly conversation where I asked my son, and he was probably about 4 years old, and he says, Mom, you know what I want to be when I grow up? I'm like, what? He says, I want to sell crabs. I'm like, what? Because that was the summer we bought a bushel of crabs, and he loved it. That's what, that was his, what I want to be. Well, he is not selling crabs, okay? But so let me ask this. Has any of you all here had some aspirations, some dreams about what you wanted to be and it didn't happen? Or better yet, that's just not really where you want it, right? Okay, because it changes, all right? So I think I told this story last week. I have this good friend from high school, and he got turned on to football when they were in that middle school age, and he was playing football. He was really good, and his aspiration was, I want to play in a college, one of the big leagues, and I want to play pro. The only problem was God didn't give him a body that you probably need, like 6 foot something and bulked up. He was 5 foot, I think he lied, 5 foot six and like 130 pounds. Okay, now he was fast. He really was fast, okay, because he had 6 brothers. And you better be fast because someone's always after you, you know, because you do stuff. So, but he didn't get his dreams and aspirations, okay? So why am I saying all this? Let me tell you one more story. Okay, I'm going someplace. I'm going down this aisle. Back in college, I think it was my sophomore year, I picked up the classes that I had signed up for, and then I went to the first day of classes, and apparently I signed up for speech class. I signed up for speech class, so I was like, oh, you know, whatever, because I didn't have all brains, you know, working there. And the prof comes in, he says, well, welcome to speech class, and you will be writing papers. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I have a friend who'll help me write them, okay. And you will be standing in front of people and giving speeches and even debating one another. I walked out of that and walked over to my advisor's office and said, get me out of that class. You got to get me out of there. And he says, sorry, honey. He didn't say it like that. But sorry, honey, you need this class to graduate. Oh, my goodness. Because what you don't know is back then, I could not stand up in front of people and talk. My palms would start sweating. And my friend Patty said, Dee, we could tell. You'd start getting these red blotches that would go up your neck and around your face. And you would just, I start stuttering, and it was just horrible. And then I'm like, God, you have a sense of humor. Ta-da! I'm like, really? Look, you know, just God has a sense of humor, okay? So listen, I really am not a speaker. And I'm really not an entertainer. And occasionally I say some funny things, okay? But listen, this is who God called me to be, all right? And Paul writes in, jot this down, you can look it up, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, about halfway down my page, okay? He starts writing, and he's talking to about himself, and he's talking to other people that have been called, and he says this. He says, you know, y'all been called, and you may not have come from a wealthy place, and you may not have come from an affluent place, but because God chose you, because he chose the foolish things of man to confound the wise. And I was like, yay! And if you were to talk to my friends in high school, especially my ones in high school, I ran around a bunch that went to Harvard. They went to MIT. They went to all the Ivy Leagues. And if they were to see me, they go, oh, yeah, that's the foolish things. Look at her now. This is crazy, okay? But why did I say all of that? Because God called me, All right? And that's my, that is, that's the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I'd say all of that because I now want to give you a definition for identity. A definition for identity. I didn't give it one last week, but I really need to do this week. And I'm not going to give you my identity. I'm going to take it from this guy. His name is David Benner, and he is a psychologist who's a Christian. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, right? He's a Christian psychologist, and he wrote this book called, and you should get this, The Gift of Being Yourself. The Gift of Being Yourself, all right? And he said this about identity. Identity is who we experience ourselves to be. It's the I each of us carries within us. Pastor D, what do you mean the I? Well, let me explain it the way he explained it in the book. Ready? Listen, this is so good. And then an identity that is grounded in God, so your identity that's grounded in God would mean that when you think of who you are, okay, the first thing that would come to mind is my status of someone who is deeply loved by God. In other words, my status is I am so loved by God. That is my identity. And some of you need to put that on your mirror. My identity is I am loved by God. Even if you messed up, even if you were good all day, doesn't matter. I am loved by God. That is my identity. I am loved by God, okay? Now, when you think about identity, lots of people kind of get this thought in their head. They kind of correlate. My identity is my job. My identity is my job. All right? So that would mean like my identity is I'm preacher. That's my identity. That's what a lot of people think. But guys, that's not it. That's not my identity. That's my calling. That's what I do. Okay? But my identity is found in who? Jesus, that's my identity, okay? And so that's the main thing you need to know. I am loved by God. Everybody say, I am loved by God. That's my identity. You know the cool thing about that? That never changes. I can change clothes. You should see what my closet looks like this morning. Like 5 different outfits thrown all over the place. Just couldn't figure it out, okay? But listen, my identity is always the same. I am loved by God. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by God, okay? Okay, so why do we get so tied up about what people say about us, okay? Oh, so-and-so said this about me, and so-and-so said that, and so-and-so did this. Who cares? I'm loved by God, right? I'm loved by God. That will keep you really strong. You got to know that, all right? So in the culture, I believe, in the culture that we're living in, when they think of identity, and you should write this down, they think short-term gain, which really is long-term pain. The world that you're living in, the people on the planet, they always thinking just short-term, and it's a gain, because I'm thinking the short-term game. Okay, such as, this is kind of what I hear a lot of, ready? I'm going to remove all the boundaries of my life. Okay, what do you mean? All right, have you ever had somebody, Michelle, somebody just get up in your face like this, and you're like, boundaries, don't you know the boundary thing? You know, the hula hoop, okay? You know, you need to tell people, sorry, I walked and the camera didn't go that way, whatever. I get scolded for that. Okay, but boundaries, by the way, boundaries. Anybody hear of Henry MacLeod? Write that down. An excellent book. Henry Cloud. You know, just slap that on. He wrote a book on boundaries. I have it downstairs. It comes with a DVD. It is incredible how to have God boundaries around you. All right? And you know, the funny thing when I think about this world is like, well, I don't need any boundaries. I can just do what I want, say what I want, da-da-da-da-da. Jack and I used to do a marriage advance, and we teach a relationship, really. He did that. But the one thing we always said is, you need to have boundaries in your life. You need to have boundaries, and you got a generation that's going, you know, no big deal. I don't want boundaries in my life. Just I can do what I want, because I got to be true to myself, all right? So here's the second thing that I see in the culture around here. Ready? You'll just love this. I'm just going to follow my feelings. How many of you are a believer and found out that's not always a good thing? That following your feelings can get you in trouble, right? That, you know, it's great when you're happy. You wake up happy and your feelings are all woohoo. But how about the day when you wake up and you're like, I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I don't even feel like I'm a Christian. Right? You can't follow your feelings. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says, guess what you need to do with them? Bam, 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 crucify them. You need to tell them to shut up. And because some they'll put you in trouble. They'll put you in trouble. Your feelings, all right? So feelings, all right? And here's something that this is the third one, that I really feel like our culture is promoting. Wow. Ready this one. Just run from your difficulties. Just run away from your difficulties. You listen, I know people have done that. Anybody know people that have done that? They just run away from all their difficulties, okay? So I started going, I wonder why they do that. Why do they always run from their difficulties? And this is what I believe. This is what I believe. They're actually rejecting authority. Okay, follow me. By the way, raise your hand if you are under authority. If you're a kid, you got some authorities. If you've got a boss, you got some authorities. There's a lot of authorities in the world. But let's just suppose, Nevin's not here, so we get to talk about him. Okay, Nevin is oversees, I love that. Nevin oversees our worship team, our worship department. So he is the director over. So guess what he is? The authority. He's the authority over the worship teams, okay? And he comes to you and he says, hey, you know, you need to do this. Or, hey, you need to not do this, okay? And you know what the culture says? Well, who do you think you are, right? Okay, this is what, then they run, okay? Well, this is, well, the Lord's now leading me to leave. Hockey puck. Yeah, there's times, yeah, but that wasn't one of them, all right? This is the question I want to ask. Are you sure you're running is because you're rejecting authority? Good thing to ask. Yeah, okay. So, in other words, you get to feel good for the short term, right? When you ditch boundaries, when you go running by your feelings, and when you go just running away from life. In the short term, it feels good. But in the long term, I'm telling you what, you are going to have problems in your life. Talk to some employers. People, the generation, the culture right now, well, I don't like my boss because he made me stay after and do this. And they quit. All right, so this is what the culture's like. You could tell some stories over there, right? All right, so it's not good. It's not good. So I do want to say this. You need to be true to yourself, but you need to be true to who God says you are. You need to be true to your identity. That's how you be true to yourself, all right? So let's get into the Word. Open up to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Here we go. For we are God's own workmanship, a handiwork, workmanship. And we're going to look at that word. So we, raise your hand, wave it if you're a we. We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. Created in Christ, born anew, that we may do those good works which he predestined. Planned before for us, taking the path which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prepared and made ready for us. So the one thing I want you to see is God wants you to have a good life. He wants you to have a good life. He says that. He's prepared a good life for you to live a good life. Okay, now, sometimes, and some of you have even had it today, you run into obstacles. Anybody have one of those even today just to get here? Obstacle, 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 okay? Sometimes we have obstacles, we just run into walls, all right? And but the thing is, you have to remember, we live in a fallen world. And in case you didn't remember, when God created the garden, the world, the garden was the perfect, perfect world, all right? But then Adam and Eve sinned, and now we live on a fallen world, okay? So you're going to have things happen. You're going to have things happen. But here's the thing you need to know. God planned for you to live a good life. He's got these plans. Even though there's things blowing up here and blowing up there, He's got a plan for you. So if you're taking notes, who are you? Number one, you are His workmanship. You are His workmanship. Okay, Pastor D, what does that mean? Okay, good. I get to tell you some words here. The word workmanship in that scripture that we just read in Ephesians 2, in the Greek, it is, I'm going to spell it, P-O-E-M-A, P-O-I-E-M-A, poimima. Good thing they don't grade me for Greek. But this is what it means. That which is made. But listen, in context, it means this. Listen, something made by God Himself. Something made by God Himself, okay? So you are something made by God Himself. So I want you to get this. You know, when we hear all this stuff about gender identity, like, I just want to change who I am. Wait a minute. God made you who you are. You know, you don't get to change, okay? God made me who I am. Praise God. So I'm just telling you, just be the you that God made you to be. Just be the you that God made you to be. You know, after Pastor Jack went on to heaven and I finally hit the pulpit up here, I would hear this all the time. Well, you're not like Pastor Jack. Duh. I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. No, listen, I can't preach like him. I can't teach like him. But I can be the God, the person that God made me to be. I'm just going to be me, all right? All right, so praise God. I am who God called me to be. I am, He made me. I'm just going to be me. Praise the Lord. So turn over to Psalm 139. We're gonna dig in this, so just keep your Bible open. We're going to hop back and forth to this. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and start with verse 14. 139, it starts like this. Thank you, so you're saying to God, thank you for making me so wonderfully complete. Look at your neighbor and say, you are wonderfully complete. Yeah, all right? So here's the thing. If I go to God and say, you know, God, I was supposed to be 5'10" and 110 pounds. You made a mistake. Or you're a guy and you go, God, I was supposed to be 6'4" and 240 pounds. God, you made a mistake. No, He says here, He has made you wonderful, wonderfully complete. So why are we doing that, all right? You just need to accept it. This is who I am. I'm not 5'10", 110 pounds. Okay? All right? And, you know, sometimes we look at these people in Hollywood, you know, some glamorous girl, and you know what you don't know, and you want, oh, I should be like that. And what you don't know is it took like 6 hours with them painted up and hair done and Spanx, you know, to look like that. And you take all that off, they probably look like you, right? Except for I'm not 5'10", all righty? So, verse 14 again. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complete. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. So again, that word workmanship is P-O-E-I-M-I-A, whatever how do I say that. But listen, that word in the Greek is where we get the word in English for poem. Poetry. I don't get poetry. But anyway, and I have people in my family, they write poetry. God bless you, okay? So, but in the Greek, that word means, I got lost, sorry, back on trail. In the Greek, that word means poem, poetry, and it even extends to art, okay? So everybody say, I'm God's poem, all right? I'm going to say, I'm His piece of art, okay? I am a piece of art, okay? Now listen, today, you know, there's some famous painters, you know, the great painters, the Rembrandts and stuff like that, and I don't even think you can buy them, but they go for millions of dollars, okay? So millions of dollars to buy pieces of artwork. So could we say that artwork is valuable? Could we say that artwork is expensive? Yeah. So how about this? God made you His piece of art. You are valuable. You are expensive. You are beautiful. You are precious. And I'm not just saying that so you feel good right now. Those are scriptures. God made you beautiful, valuable, and precious. And you need to get that in you. You need to get that without looking in the mirror. Just, you know, don't look in the mirror. You should see what I look like in the morning. But I get up out of, before I get out of bed, I'm valuable. Especially today, I was thinking about this. Dang, I'm valuable to God. Dang, I'm beautiful to God. Dang, I am precious to God. You know? So you got to do that, all righty? So you are the expression of God's art. He made you. And you are amazing, all right? So let's. So that was verse 14. I want you to jump up and listen to verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, knit them together in my mother's womb. Listen, guys, in the culture we're living in right now, they will not acknowledge that when life begins in the womb, they won't acknowledge that. Matter of fact, up to about 8 weeks, even if they feel a baby kick, they will not acknowledge that there is life. That's the culture we're living in here, okay? Then God says, hey, I knit you together in your mother's womb. Woo! Just love that. All right, so in verse 14 again, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. Praise God. How well I know it. So listen, God made you. He didn't make a mistake. You are wonderfully made. Wonderfully made, all right? Let's jump down to verse 15. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Again, you know, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about life as soon as conception is, there's life there. So I don't get it how people can just say, no, there isn't. I don't get it, all right? According to God's word, we just read, he puts you in there. You are beautiful. You're wonderfully formed. It's amazing, all right? So here's number two. So number one, who are you? You are God's workmanship. Here's number two, God formed you. So one, you are his workmanship. Two, God formed you, okay? You know, it's real interesting that some people won't acknowledge that God formed them, that God made them, okay? But I don't care if you believe it or not, it's true. That's God formed you. He made you. You're beautiful. You're precious, all right? And, you know, I was thinking about that word formed. Now, formed isn't like that. To me, I look at that word formed, and it took time. That's the way I see this. So, you know, sometimes we're like, I got to find out who I am right now. I got to find out, right now who I am. You know, it's okay. Just relax. Just chill. God, you know, it'll take time. It might take some time, all right? I remember years ago that God, I felt in my heart I was supposed to teach kids. And it wasn't because I had a degree. I felt like I was supposed to teach kids about Jesus, all right? And then I remember when the Lord put on my heart to teach junior high in the public school on an after school and a morning program. I was like, God, they're junior high. Okay, but I remember God put that in my heart. And then I remember when Jack and I left Tulsa, the pastors called us up front and laid hands on us, and we believed we were to come back here and pastor. I remember that. And I remember the Lord saying, you need to learn how to serve and be faithful. And it took a time. I was like, oh, I'm done with that. No, I had to learn how to do that, all right? Where I am today didn't happen overnight, right? It didn't happen overnight. So remember that scripture I gave you last week? God is the potter, you're the clay, and we go telling him, right? No. So listen, just say, God, who am I? Reveal that to me. God, what is your call for me in my life? Just reveal that to me, and then just relax. He'll tell you. All right, he'll show you, and it changes. Like it's more like it goes like this. It's not like a left turn, right turn, but it just changes. There's a growth to it. Anyway, let's read verse 16. This is God. He's saying, you saw me before I was born. God saw you. You are not overlooked. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. So apparently, God has another book besides the Bible in heaven. I've got to read that again. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. So God has a book. Everybody say that. God has a book. And every day of my life was recorded in it. Now my brain goes, I don't get it. I know. That's just wah. Okay, that's all right. Just keep reading this. He has a book. And every day about you is recorded in it. Okay? And you know what I say? I want to make sure I'm in the right book. Not your book. I want to make sure I'm in the right book, all right, that God has recorded about my life. And then I go, and I want to be on the right page, on the right day, in the right book. Because so I'm reading this, and I'm going, wow, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Woo, okay. So this is my desire. Father, just show me what you have written for me, that you already planned out for me in your book. All right, and I thank you. You're showing me, all right? So the rest of that, every moment in verse 16, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. This is one of those, you got to get your head. So God has a book, and every day was laid out. Wow. In your life, the way it's supposed to look. That's God. He made you. He has a plan for you. So praise God. Amen. Now, so God has made you his workmanship, and here he has formed you. Praise God. Let me think here. I'm looking at the time. Glory to God. Some days I should take that class clock down. All right. Let's go to number three. So one, who are you? You are his workmanship. Two, God formed you. And just ask him about all that stuff. So here's number three. God prepared a future. God prepared a future for you. To everybody, close your eyes and just say, God, you prepared a future for me. I want to know about that. So turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. I love this one. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 5. I know the plans and the thoughts, I'm one ahead, all right? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I know you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Wait a minute, that's another scripture. God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb? Yeah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart, or I called you and appointed you for the nations, to a prophet to the nations. So this is Jeremiah. And he's got this ears open, and God says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Jeremiah, I knew you before, and I have already appointed you before to be a prophet to the nations. All right, so God knew you. Okay, now turn over to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Here we go. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. How many of you have had this as a plaque on your wall or a poster, all right? Yep, it was a wedding present. It was a big old plaque, okay? Here we go. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you. I know the plans and the thoughts I have for you. The first time I read that, I thought, whoa, he's got some plans for me. Back when I didn't even know what I wanted to do in life. Whoa, he got some plans and thoughts for me, all right? So I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace. That word in Hebrew is shalom. Okay, it means nothing missing, nothing broken. So God's saying, hey, I've got shalom for your life, right? Plans for peace and a well-being, not for a disaster, to give you a future and to give you hope. Praise God. So when God wrote this, he really wrote this to Israel, the nation of Israel. This is how it's originally written, okay? He wrote this to the nation of Israel, okay? And he had good plans for them, but they kept walking away from his plans, all right? And that's why they had some problems. But originally, God said, I have these good plans for you, all right? But they kept walking away. So here's my encouragement. Stay walking with God. And you're going to run into stuff that's hard. You're going to run into troubles, but stay walking with God. Don't desert God. If I could tell you all the things in my life that were tough stuff, and I decided a long time ago I was going to keep walking with God. I wasn't going to run away from God, and he would bring me through. So I just want to encourage you. You know, listen, we all run into stuff, tough stuff. And if I could tell you people who I went to Bible school with that ran into tough times and walked away from the Lord, makes my heart cry, all right? But I've decided, nope. I'm going to keep running with God, all right? So listen to verse 17. We're back down at Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious are your thoughts about me? See, God's got good thoughts for you, right? They can't be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me, all right? So one, guys, you are God's workmanship. Two, you are formed by God. And three, he's got a good future for you. And here's our last one. And we really started with this. You are deeply loved by God. You are deeply loved by God. And that's what we read right in the beginning. Our security, our identity is when you know that you are deeply loved by God. And Google, give me a couple scriptures on the love of God. A hundred of them popped up, 100 of them. So I'm not going to read you 100. I'm just going to read this one. It's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, 8. God showed, I like this word, demonstrated. You know what it means? Like God put his money where his mouth was. God demonstrated his great love for us by sending Jesus to die for us when while we were still sinners. So guys, before you met Jesus, you were a sinner, and God loved you so much that he sent Jesus. Before, when I didn't know Jesus, and I was doing some things I shouldn't have been doing, Pastor D, yeah, because I didn't know Jesus. But then one day I went to a grow group. Anybody ever been to a grow group before? I went to a grow group, and they told me how much God loved me, even though I was doing some things I shouldn't have been doing, and I received Jesus. All right? I received Jesus. Before, I didn't know, but then they said, Jesus loves you, and I received him. All right? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Our Christian identity is the only identity. You just receive it. It's the only identity. All the other identities in this world going, you got to do this, you can't say that, you got to be this, okay. But the Christian identity is you just receive it. Just receive it. You don't have to achieve it, all right? So I don't have to achieve it. I'm just going to be who God made me to be. I'm going to be what Jesus made me to be, and I don't have to achieve it. I don't have to look good. I don't have to have good grades. I don't have to be in a financial position. I'm just going to receive my identity, one, that I am so loved by God. Praise God. So, identity. The biggest challenge you will have in life is to know who God made you, to know your identity. And once you know your identity, like me, it took me 6 months till all of a sudden the lights were going off, okay? And then I started reading that identity book, but okay? That if you can see what God sees about you, that is your identity. That is your identity, all right? One scripture, I promise, one more. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. One more scripture. 1 Peter 2:9. This is the Apostle Peter. Now, Peter, what a character. Just love. You know, some days I think I muff up. Then yeah, just read about Peter. He's like the top three of with Jesus, right? And the big 12. And you read about Peter, I'm like, okay. So Peter is writing this after all this transformation in his life. And he's writing to people in the church. He's writing to believers, right? He's writing to Christians in the church, all right? He's not writing to the Jews. He's writing to believers. Raise your hand if you're a believer. So you could guess what? He's writing this to us, and this is what he says. But you are a chosen race. Woohoo! You are chosen, all right? I love that. You and I are chosen race. Once you receive Jesus, you are chosen. You're amazing, all right? So keep going. And then he says, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people. I am a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellence, the wonderful deeds, the virtues, the perfections of him who called you out of darkness. We sang a song about that. Called you out of a darkness into his marvelous light. All right? So that is all good. That is just wonderful. Now, verse 10. It says once, but once you were not... But once you were not a people at all, okay? So remember, he's writing to believers. He's writing to people in the church that have received Jesus. But he says, but once you were not this chosen, royal, consecrated, wonderful. He said, once you were not, okay? So let me say this. The Jews were God's chosen first. The Jewish nation, Israel, was God's chosen first, all right? And, you know, we hear a lot about Israel right now, a lot of people bad-mouthing Israel. Matter of fact, a lot of people are like, oh, we're going to wipe out Israel. It's Syria and Iran and probably China's going to jump in there and Russia. And they're like, we're going to wipe out Israel. Well, let me tell you what God says. It ain't going to happen. It ain't gonna happen, all right? And if you're here and you're like, I hate the Jews, woo! Well, let me tell you. First off, the church believers aren't supposed to hate, right? And second, you're not supposed to hate the Jews. And third, the Apostle Paul said in Romans, pray for them. Okay, so. And so the next time you're listening to the news and they're meh, meh, meh about Israel or someone's like talking hate about Israel, let me tell you, the Bible says that Jesus will protect them, that God will protect them. Why? They were chosen first. That's right. But they were chosen first, all right? So that's why it's not going to happen. So let me read this again. But once you were not at all. But now, because you've received Jesus, you are God's people, okay? Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Raise your hand if you ever needed mercy in your life. You know what mercy is? You didn't get what you deserved, you should have got. That's mercy. And listen, God in his great mercy, we should have been, we were sinners, we were bound for hell, and God in his great mercy sent Jesus so that my sins are forgiven. That's big mercy, all right? So mercy, all righty, here you go. Praise God. So how do I wrap this up? What is the biggest obstacle you'll ever face in your life? It's not how much money you make. It's not about this or that. It's how you see yourself. That is the biggest obstacle, all right? So if you start seeing yourself, your identity with Jesus seated in the heavenlies, valuable, expensive, precious, man, it'll be better for you. It'll go well with you, all right? How about you start seeing, I am so deeply loved by God. So deeply loved by God. So I just want to I want to give you a challenge. Homework, okay? How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? And you know, right now you'll give me the right answer. But tomorrow when the stuff hits the fan, how do you see yourself? Tomorrow or when your boss, how do you see yourself? The next week, you know, you've got this stuff going on at home. How do you see yourself? All right? So that's your homework. How do you see yourself? Alrighty, so, and you know, really, this is where faith comes in. This is where faith comes in, all right? This is where you apply faith. Apply faith. God, I believe that I am made by you. God, I believe that I am precious to you. And I'm going to start speaking what God says about me. God, I believe that I can amount to anything you want me to be. God, I believe I can do what you called me to be. God, I believe. So everybody say, God, I believe. God, I believe. You're wonderful. wonderful, all right? So let's pray. Father, thank you that you made us. Thank you that you formed us. Thank you that we are your poem. Thank you that we are your piece of artwork that is so valuable and precious. Thank you that we are so deeply loved, and nothing can change that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, just opening our eyes to who we are so we can live this good life that you planned out for us. And if you're here today and you just go, you know, I think I need to make some adjustments in my life. I've not been living who I am. So right now is a really good time to say, God, just, I'm sorry. Show me. Show me how I can live this good life that you planned for me. Show me that I am who you made me to be. And I'm secure in that. I'm not going to try to be somebody else. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're speaking to hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're just lifting them up to the heavenly places because that's who they are, seated with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we're not shame for past. Shoo, I have a bright hope in a future. You said that. I'm going to walk in that. No matter what someone says about me. Amen. Thank you. So I have one more thing. Probably, I always say it's probably the most important thing. By the way, Matt Forey, stand up for a second. Matt grabbed me before church. Okay, you can sit down. That was good. And he says, little Logan wants to tell you something. How old's Logan? Eight. Okay, I can do this without crying. So he says, Logan wants to tell you something. So I kind of bend down to Logan, and he said, I asked Jesus into my heart. The day doesn't get any better, right? And I said, well, who prayed with you? And he goes, Dad, all right? Praise God. So I'm going to ask you, have you asked Jesus into your life? Because that's the first step to finding out who you really are. That's the first step of the journey. After you do that, you know, say, Jesus, come into my life. Then you're on the journey of figuring this all out. But the rest of it's kind of goofy out there. So if you've not asked Jesus into your life, today is a good day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart as they did in the days of old. I don't want anybody to have a hard heart. So as a matter of fact, I say mush your heart. Would you ask Jesus into your life? Change your life forever. And forever is forever, all right? So if that's you, raise your hand. We'll pray for you, okay? Anybody? Kind of look around. You know, it's real funny, Matt. Luke and Logan are in the children's church class. That means they have to be in first grade, second grade, third grade, I think fourth, up to fourth. And I was talking to the lead authority teacher, Miss Heather, and I said, hey, listen, girl, every week I want you to ask these children, have you received Jesus into your life? She goes, Dee, we do it every week. And they all go, yeah. And I said, that's all right. Do it every week. Because they'll come, especially when they're real little, because they're real good at Simon says this, 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 okay? They're real good at following, and that's part of training. But there'll come a day where lights go off and go, Dad, can I receive Jesus? All right? So, hey, man, I'm kind of lost somewhere here. So, Father God, if there's someone in this place, you know who they are. You know if that's you, just, I'm going to close my eyes. I was supposed to keep up, but everybody else close your eyes. Just slip your hand up. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you, and your life will be changed from the inside out, and you'll have a new identity, and your past will disappear, and you'll be this child of God forever. So if that's you, we're going to pray for you, and I want everybody to pray this prayer. And you know, it's so funny. People will say, I am just right on the place. People will come up, Pastor D, would you pray for this person to receive Jesus? I'm like, you can do that. You didn't have to wait a whole week for doing that. And then, because you, just real simple, you go, have them repeat after me, Father God, I realize I'm a sinner and I need Jesus the Savior. So this day, I thank you that Jesus died on a cross for my sins so that I could have you in my life. And Jesus, right now, I receive you into my life to be my Savior, to be my Lord, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. All right. Praise God. Praise God. So if you prayed that, let me just tell me. But otherwise, guys, Mark Rodenbaugh came up to